All right. Our project is on worker wellness and participation in China in the Changzhou Xinbei district. Changzhou city is in between Nanjing and Shanghai in China. And this is a partnership that was initiated. The companies, workers were very frustrated in China in terms of issues of being unproductive in these economic development zones. And they were trying to engage workers, and it wasn't working. And the local government was also trying to engage workers, and that wasn't working. And if you remember, back in 2010, I believe, there was the issues of the Chinese workers first garnered attention about the 14 suicides at the Taiwanese-owned Foxconn manufacturing site. And the poor conditions, the depression, and a number of issues. They heard about us. One of our key partners was Pathfinder International. And they heard about our work at UC Berkeley in terms of a wellness model. And we were invited to visit China and to learn about the process. And then we got going in 2011 on a wellness project in Changzhou Development Center. Nothing to disclose. And these are some of our partners at Nanjing Yudan University and also with Pathfinder International. And some of the thinking, initially is, as we shared with them, is really some of the very basic fundamentals for public health, wellness versus health. And then some of the methods and some of the design science and participatory methods that are important, I'll talk about during this presentation. And then a little more detail about the project. This is our research center at UC Berkeley has been around since 1988, really focused on partnerships, translating research into practice, and design science areas. Why is it important? I think we know, the traditional view, and this doesn't really preclude a lot of these determinants. A lot of the workers are less than 30, majority women, migrants in these factories, in these economic zones. And they have very little understanding about some of these concepts. At the same time, though, in China, there's a long history of wellness, yin and the yang and the balance. But as the Western medical approaches kind of, become more prominent, sometimes that gets lost. So it was refreshing for them, for us to visit China and to talk about these issues and kind of reconnect them to some of the things they, that's what it is. So, and then, we really think about this work in China as through an ecological framework, working with the factories, working with government, thinking about the worker issues and the managers, it really only works if it's really from in China, from the workers themselves and the managers, for them to really be kind of leading this work. And we were there really to support them and really sharing with them our framework of how it might work, because what they were trying hasn't been working. And we really felt that, participatory research in this case as part of design science was really important. There are some very basic things that we shared with them regarding engaging communities, really, identify each other's strengths, focus on local discussions, sharing. It was very difficult in the initial discussion groups, workers and managers sitting together, local government officials. Well, we even had, in some meetings, federal government officials come and sit. And it was very hard for them, for workers to share their opinions. There's a hierarchy in the traditional norms, and it was very hard initially. But once it got working, You know, for example, one of the government officials from the federal government came and said, you know, and then workers said, you know, something like, you know, we don't, migrant workers said, you know, we can't get health care, you know, we don't have access. So, you know, because, you know, and there's a kind of issues with migrant workers because their health care is kind of more affiliated with their local region. They have their local regional IDs. Passes. So when they move to this economic zone, they're totally unfamiliar and they don't really know if they have access. And the local factories don't, managers don't know either. You know, usually you have to be the local resident to kind of get access to healthcare. So when the federal government agency said, yes, of course, you know, you should have right to access basic health, so checkups and things like that. So the factories changed. Okay, so it just moved forward. So. And then, but not just because of a federal government official, but it really made a difference. But various discussions, you know, it really takes time to build a trust. And one of the first things we did actually here in the U.S. was a wellness guide. This was published in 2004 in California, and we disseminated 100,000 copies across our community partners in the U.S., in English, in Spanish, in Chinese, and in other languages across California. And this was so successful. This was what we also try to work on to adapt in China for this project. And our center has also kind of worked in other countries and states as part of this wellness model as we further that, including Wellness Guide and other projects. And I think it's important, you know, with whatever wellness guide or other wellness center models we've been working on in China coming up, you know, it's really important to think about evaluation of how it's working, whether it's the guide or the models that I'll talk about a little more. So, you know, at the crux, you know, it's really China has a lot of migrant workers from rural regions, and many of them have problems, and especially when they move to new areas, totally unfamiliar. And we need to better understand their issues and also help them understand the local issues who they're facing in these factories. And these are our partners for the project. With the local universities, they've been great with working on focus groups and interviews, kind of starting up the process. Also, central government, as well as the regional government and the local government, and also some other community partners in that area, and of course, factory workers and managers. And we have a lot of funders. I'll mention them at the end. And we have about three project advisory committees so far working together on this, including committees to really help with kind of developing the funding and fundraising for more resources with the new wellness centers, the wellness houses that are being developed, as well as the wellness guide that was recently launched in October this year. So some of the basic methods we worked on included 11 focus groups with managers and also with workers, and about 1,000 worker baseline interviews so far with 3 intervention and 3 control factories. Some of our intervention factories are, there's two electronics and 1 garment factory. And one of the electronic is a Japanese owned. The garment factory is a Hong Kong collaboration. And then the third is a Chinese owned. And then we also had some workshops and continuing sessions. So from the focus groups, it was very clear, you know, this profile of the workers, 30 and younger, mostly women, 80% migrant workers. There was very little understanding. Most of them, their educational level was about 7th grade level. They have very little knowledge, and in particular, reproductive health knowledge and self-care. And there's also very little knowledge about sexual knowledge and also related sexual education. and particularly with contraceptions. And, you know, some of the traditional concepts, you know, coming from rural regions, they really felt, you know, maybe some of the women's focus groups talked about, you know, maybe there isn't a need to learn all about this, you know, or it's kind of very hush-hush, it's kind of stigma to talk about it, sexuality, and, you know, perhaps it's something you do when you, after you get married. And at the same time, the younger workers, you know, talk about, you know, more open-minded about sexuality, kind of it's okay to have sex before you get married. Thinks, you know, maybe it's okay, homosexuality is okay, but for the older workers, it's really a no-no. So there's a variety of perspectives, but these are mostly young workers. And then some of the baseline interview results, you know, really talk about, you know, there's really a need for more information, a place to gather, you know. There's really been an issue of high turnover, almost sometimes as high as 50% at some of these factories over a month period. So it's a very serious issue, these workers not really fitting in into their work environment and going back to their rural home. So you can see these are some of the meetings recently. This was one meeting on the left in October where we were introducing the new wellness guide. They really adapted our original wellness guide somewhat closely initially. They really liked what we worked on. But we also try to encourage, you know, coming up, you know, thinking about, you know, trying to think about things that really work better for them. You know, it's kind of a initial process, so it better is tailored or fit to the workers or the local community's preferences or needs. But this is a good starting point. And you know, some of the in some of the workshops we talked about, you know, we had some breakouts and talk about some of the issues that influence their health. And these were some of the things we asked about: physical, social, family, work, community, and others. And some of the things they talked about, you know, very few services. They want more friends. They're far from family, you know, poor people always leaving. So there are some married workers, schools for their children, and things like a range of things. So one of this is our first intervention, the wellness guide. It's really following the Berkeley design, and kind of they're very excited about this. We're starting to have other factories in the Changzhou area interested in from our control group, but that's not a good thing for the study. But we're trying to see if we might find additional control groups because of contamination. But at the same time, another step that's really coming is the wellness house. At our three factories, our intervention factories, for the ones run by the Japanese and the Hong Kong owners, they've established a wellness house now. And the one that is at the Chinese-owned factory is a little bit slower, so kind of a work in progress. You know, as you know, in China, guanxi relationships are very important in kind of having people kind of communicate, and there's a standard kind of way to go about that between workers and managers and who they know and how to kind of build that. So it's a very hard process to actually implement this in China. It's a funny thing. One of our colleagues who worked on this gentleman who's there in the picture, you know, he was, you know, thinking, you know, what is this? You know, what is this wellness model? You know, he was very curious about it, and then he said, you know, is this? His name is Wang Xiaogong. He's a doctor. And he's head of a project for the government. And he stood up and said, you know, is this kind of democracy what we're doing here? So he was so excited about it. So So once kind of, you know, they broke the ice, you know, it was much easier for the managers and the government officials and the workers to kind of have those discussions. And then, you know, here is the new wellness house at one of the factories. This something that they really worked on and built themselves. And in terms of, you know, the launch, it was just launched in October also, you know, this year. At two of the factories, the wellness house has been established. And the, it seems that the foreign companies and the Hong Kong companies had more resources also to kind of support the development of this initially, while the China-owned company was had a very hard time. You know, they were always working with very kind of a limited budget, kind of, and resources. So it's much harder to kind of establish a wellness house initially. But it's been great for the workers. For example, you know, one of the workers at the workshop talked about, you know, wanting to have more communication with their families in their homes far away. And, you know, they asked, could we have Skype? You know, initially people, you know, the factory managers were very hesitant because maybe that would lead to workers kind of more communicating and working together, and that might lead to some managerial issues. But they were all, they really wanted to kind of just talk with their family members. So, you know, so they were able to develop Skype and computers, and people can access. One of the computer software now they also developed at this wellness house was kind of a biofeedback relaxation software. So when they go on there, you know, and they sit, you know, they could kind of find out how, like, watch their levels go up or down. So, you know, they're very curious. So it's been kind of interesting. And it measures some of the blood pressure, heart rates, and relaxation levels. So, okay. So I'm going to stop there. Thank you. And these are some of our partners. Yes. I think at different factories they have different needs, and right now those were not part of the things they talked about. But I think a hard thing is, you know, the workers are working 16-hour days at the factory, and some of them, you know, may want to go outside. So in terms of what happens at the wellness house, a TV to watch, a computer connect to home, a place for them to, there's a lot of books there to learn to read about, there's health, not education. So there's things in magazines, kind of, we're kind of starting. So I think these are things that all could keep changing. So we really support the workers' companies to, with the managers, keep tweaking and changing to what it is they want. And each factory is different, so.
So your method is a participatory action. So if the workers were involved in the designing process of the wellness program.
Absolutely. It's really a partnership between the workers and the managers. And I think having the local government and really be supportive really made the process much easier. Yes?
Can the wellness guy be tailored to
other factories or countries like in Africa? Absolutely. We also work in, yes. It's something that we really feel, you know, the way we develop a wellness guide is really through a participatory design process. So we really encourage working with locals to kind of develop the things that work for you to develop the model that the guide is.
So you pick whatever it is that you want, the factory needs from the guide.
Not just what the factory needs, but kind of it's also providing health education and knowledge. So it's also trying to, besides what the workers need, also additional information for that they may not know of. So it's a combination, because it's not just the workers, but we also have the local service folks there. So it's a combination to work together.